Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
I'm Janet Marana, Executive Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to our program. And of course, we are in Abortion Recovery Awareness Month. And this whole month of April, that's what we're doing. We're putting a spotlight on people, mothers, fathers, grandparents, future siblings. There's so many people, the whole entire family and all of society, been hurt by abortion. Decades and decades and decades of, you know, and they're still saying it. Oh, abortion is no big deal. Have an abortion. Go back to school and work tomorrow. But we in the pro-life movement, we in the abortion recovery world, we know it's not so simple. People are hurting. And today on the program, we're going to show you who, how you can reach out to people who need the healing. Well, joining me today is an expert on this topic, dear friend of mine in our ministry. It's Kevin Burke. He's one of the co-founders of Rachel's Vineyard, the largest abortion recovery program in the world. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Janet. Great to be with you.
And of course, when we think of an abortion loss, you know, most people focus on right away the mother, rightfully so. You know, she's carrying the baby, and she, whether it's her decision or pressure or coercion, and she's coerced into it, she is aborting her baby. But then there's other people who are affected too. So I want to delve into today on our program, first of all, the mother, and then we're going to switch over to the dad and then the other affected people in the family. So let's just talk with the mom first, how she's impacted.
Sure. Well, the mother obviously is the most intimately impacted. She's carrying the child. She has to experience the procedure, which whether it's a surgical procedure or what we are finding now, that up to 60% of abortions now are done with the abortion pills. That is a particularly traumatic experience for many women. They have to become the, in a sense, the abortionist, and where they have the procedure, their home or their bathroom, you know, will kind of leads that to be the abortion center. So that has its own complicated trauma. So women have that immediate impact of the decision. They have the pressure oftentimes of other people in their lives who are telling them this is the right thing to do. That could be a healthcare professional. It can be the boyfriend or the partner or the husband or their fiance who's saying, you know, I don't think this is a good time to have the baby. Even grandparents either could be trying to stop her, but sometimes they could be saying, you know what, we don't want you to be burdened with this child. And so a lot of people are often, this is what we hear hundreds and hundreds of stories on Rachel's Vineyard retreats, is that oftentimes, a number of folks are involved in her loss. And latest research shows that 60-70% of women report there was a sense of pressure at the time of that decision to have the abortion. So she uniquely experiences that. There's often an immediate symptoms after the abortion, if not a delayed response. But there's certainly a need for a healing of the relationship. Women who are experiencing pregnancy, it's a natural process. And so when you sever that process physiologically, and when you sever that relationship emotionally with that developing child, it has natural repercussions. And so healing is very important.
Right. And then, of course, there's the father, which could be double-sided coin. Some of these dads, they're responsible for that abortion because she'll come to them, the mom, and say, well, I'm pregnant, and she's waiting for his reaction, right? And isn't his reaction so important about whether she's going to make a life-affirming decision or feel like she has to have an abortion, right? That dad, his first, I'm pregnant, reaction is so important, isn't it?
It's powerful. I've seen this really up close, hearing so many stories from couples, from men who are coming for abortion healing in our Rachel's Vineyard retreats. And when they tell the abortion story, one of the things that's often most causing them so much pain, this is often many years later when they come to recognize this, they realized that the way they responded to that pregnancy oftentimes sealed the deal in their child being lost to abortion. And so that's a tremendous sense of shame and guilt for men, even if men feel a sense of relief. And this is not uncommon because there's a crisis. They experience it perhaps as a crisis. They don't feel ready. They feel inadequate, whatever the circumstances. They feel like this isn't the right time. They may feel a sense of relief. However, what we've learned is that alongside that relief is a deep sense of shame and guilt for having violated something fundamental to their identity as men and fathers. Fundamental. And that is protecting the lives that have been entrusted to them, the woman and the child entrusted to them, even for a short time, even for a short relationship. It still damages men in that core area of their male identity. Conversely, this is the good news, healing can help restore men in some really important parts of their male identity as well.
That's right. And then, of course, some of these dads don't even know their girlfriend or wife are pregnant, and they go off and handle it themselves and never tell them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes these dads find out years later they lost the child to abortion. How does that affect them to find out years later? It's kind of like they were lied to, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking of a particular situation right now with a man who learned many years later through, he was on Facebook and he reconnected with someone who he dated in high school and in college for a couple of years. They were very close. They had sexual relations. And she, as they got to talk again, she shared that she had aborted their child and she had never told him. He was devastated. He was very, you know, a very faithful man, and he'd come to, you know, have conversion and practice his faith more intensely. And so he was really, really broken by that. And he went through a healing program, and it was very, very important for him to do that because how much damage he felt from that. And let's not forget those men who have no say at the time of the abortion. They're told of the pregnancy and they offer to, you know, offer support, physical support, to offer relational support, marriage in some cases. And even though they're pleading for the life of their child for different reasons, the mother feels like she has no choice but to abort that baby. And let me tell you, that is a truly devastating and psychologically traumatic experience for those men. Men who experience this kind of loss, whether if you're listening and have had that kind of experience or you know someone who has, they need help. They need help because they're going to act out on those symptoms. And it can be very dangerous. At the very least, it could be very debilitating and upsetting. So men need healing as well, whatever their role in the abortion.
Well, and especially those fathers, like you just pointed out, Kevin, if they could not stop the abortion, there's a real anger issue there, isn't there? Deep, deep anger of, that's my baby. And the government says you have no right to protect your own child. So isn't there a very deep anger effect there?
Very good point. And in fact, you find this across the board in all kinds of abortion situations. When men are dealing with very intense feelings of grief and loss and depression, it's often expressed as anger, all the more so in situations like this, because you have a sense of powerlessness. There's nothing worse for men. Remember I talked about the sense of instinction, the instinct to want to protect? Well, when you are held back from wanting it, think of if you knew your baby was in a crib in the second floor of your house or apartment, and there was a fire, and the police were holding you back from getting into the building to save your child. Can you imagine the trauma you would experience?
Wow.
It's no different for a man who is very much in touch with the fact that he's a father of that child in her womb, and he can't protect that child. It's devastating. And yes, anger can be a feature either expressed outward, that could be damaging to others and certainly hurt him in his life, but it can also be directed inward, and that can lead to self-destructive impulsive behavior. And ultimately, in some cases, sadly, it has led to suicide.
Wow. And then, of course, we have grandparents, okay? Grandmothers, grandfathers, and let's talk about first the ones who had a role in that abortion decision. Because as we know, by listening to the stories of the mothers on Rachel's Vineyard who come for healing, that too often, their mother took them for that abortion. So they were taking their daughter to abort their grandchild because they thought that was the best thing for her, or fathers too. I mean, I'll never forget being in front of an abortion clinic and seeing a father have his daughter by the wrist like this and kind of pushing her, forcing her into the abortion clinic when we were outside praying. And so let's first talk about those grandparents that they actively said, yes, you have to abort this child. You're not ready to be a mother. And if you don't have that abortion, I'm going to throw you out of the house or whatever the threats are. Let's talk about those grandparents first. What can you say about them?
Oftentimes they're acting with the best of intentions. They feel like they're protecting their son or daughter from some of the consequences of that pregnancy that they see are going to be so challenging. Perhaps they experienced that themselves before, either through an abortion or perhaps through an unplanned pregnancy. They want to, out of love for the child, they may be trying to protect them. What they don't realize and what's very difficult for them to come to, and this is where, healing and counseling are very important, is they don't understand how deeply this has damaged their child and that in many cases it probably traumatized them because if they felt pressure to abort, they felt they had no real choice in the matter and then have to go through that traumatic experience and the procedure, that's devastating for them. And oftentimes they're not sure how to reach out because they see after the abortion, their daughter or son is there's drinking too much. They're acting out in various ways. They may be depressed, withdrawn. They may be becoming promiscuous. Whatever the symptoms are, sleep disturbance, whatever their symptoms are, they sometimes will stay in denial and feel like they still did the right thing. And so they have to, in a similar way, break through the denial and realize that their son or daughter is hurting and needs healing. They also need healing for their role in that abortion. They were a direct participant. They're complicit. They're an accessory, in a sense, in the death of that child. And they, too, need healing. So not speaking here on condemnation. I'm just speaking in the sense that if you are a grandparent and had that role, you need healing because oftentimes your own healing will open the door for you to be more open to understanding what your son or daughters are experiencing and reach out to them in love and invite them to healing. And in some cases, you can even participate in that healing together. But these kind of situations are complicated. So probably separate programs are going to be more appropriate.
Right. And then, of course, there's the grandparents who had no idea. Their daughter went off and had, especially now with chemical abortion, right? Went off, she's away at college, has an abortion. They don't even know. Suddenly they notice the behavior changing or whatever. And then maybe a couple of years go along and they find out that their daughter had an abortion. So they lost a grandchild. Can you share how does that impact them and their healing?
Well, the first reaction, of course, is devastation, a sense of grief, but here again, we're going to find anger. There could be a lot of anger, resentment that they were not able to protect, support her, that they didn't trust them enough to come to them, which is very disappointing. It feels really bad as a parent when your kid doesn't come to you. And then at the same time, you're also feeling angry. So you can struggle with, maybe distancing yourself from the child or maybe coming at them with anger, which is not going to be helpful. How could you do this? Those kind of comments, we don't know where the person's at in their own sense of understanding of what happened to them with the abortion. So it's a tough place to be. And if you are in that spot, if you're someone who knows that your son or daughter had an abortion and you either were able to stop it at the time or you learned about it later, Rachel's Vineyard welcomes you. And not all abortion healing programs do, but let me tell you, Rachel's Vineyard from the beginning has welcomed grandparents. It's very beautiful to see them on retreats because they're a blessing not only for their own healing, but they're a blessing to the other folks there because their parents may not have been involved in any way in a positive way, the abortion. So, yeah, grandparents need healing regardless of their role in the abortion decision.
Yeah. Well, as you know, Kevin, I can relate to this because one of my daughters went off when she was in college again, away from home in Michigan, had an abortion without me ever knowing. And a couple months later, she said she wanted to drop out of school and come home. And again, I didn't know why. I thought, well, she's also a type 1 diabetic. So therefore, I was thinking it was the diabetes and, she's not feeling well. Okay, come home, take the rest of the semester off. And she started school again in that fall. But over the course of the summer, she finally told me. And I had those feelings of, why didn't she come to me? And because she goes, I'm so active and vocal and pro-life, and she knows. And I asked her that question, Kevin, and you know what she said? I said, why didn't you come to me? And she said, Mom, I didn't want to disappoint you. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure other grandparents can relate to that. You know, and I, since I've told our story, a lot of other people in the pro-life movement said, yeah, it happened to me too. And so some of us, even though we're involved in the pro-life movement, even though we tell our kids not to have an abortion, but if something, if you get pregnant, please, I'm here for you. They don't want to disappoint us, right? And they make that mistake too. Luckily, my daughter and I went off and we did a healing program together. I took her all the way up to Canada, Dr. Nay, with Hope Alive. And we reconciled it and all that. And we went through a whole week of intensive abortion recovery together. But that's why I said, you know, for the, like you said, grandparents that didn't know and find out later, it is really upsetting of, why didn't they trust me enough to come to me? So that is a deep wound. And I know Rachel's Vineyard has been in the forefront of welcoming grandparents. And for grandparents too, if your daughter doesn't want to go to abortion healing, there's no reason why you can't first take that step for yourself, right? Because maybe if she sees your peace and your healing, you might then eventually, and then you could go again with her if she wants, you know? So it doesn't have to be a one and done, right? It could be, first I'll take the step and then I'll try to bring her into it, right?
Absolutely. I'm thinking of so many cases where that opened the door to healing for the family, the grandparent taking that step. Because what happens was when you go through the healing process, you're dealing with those conflicting and painful, difficult emotions, and then the Lord's coming in and flooding you with grace and mercy and all kinds of great gifts. And so you come out of that in such a better place to be able to reach out and love to your family and to be a source of healing for anyone who has had an abortion loss.
Right. Well, now we have another family group. Very often a mother has an abortion when she's in college. Okay. Brushes it off. Later on, years later, she meets Prince Charming and marries, and now she's pregnant and having a baby. What effect does that prior abortion have on now this sibling as it's growing up, you know, and there's been an abortion loss, and this sibling supposedly doesn't even know, but has a sense there's something not right. What can you say about a sibling who had a brother and sister that's not part of the family?
Yeah, you may be watching this and have either learned later, maybe it was a secret that was a secret for a long time, but then for something broke that secret, and you learned that your mother or your father had an abortion either prior to your birth or prior to their marriage with another father, and you learn about that, then sometimes you begin to recognize that how that impacted you in the family. And one of the ways it impacts you is that if a mother has not done the healing work and had reconciliation of that loss, oftentimes that's impacted her current marriage. Let's say she's married to a wonderful man, but she never really dealt with that abortion loss and the pain associated with that. And in time, she began to act out in various ways and distance herself, or perhaps there was some drinking involved, or maybe an affair, which is not uncommon that people act out in the area of relationship because it's a relational wound. And so you see how that has impacted your family. And you also have a kind of an intuitive sense, which Dr. Nay, Janet, you can speak to this, that intuitive sense of loss. And you may have experienced some symptoms yourself of that. And so that's where, you know, siblings, there are various programs for siblings to go through a healing process for their own. They're welcome Rachel's Vineyard, but there are other programs as well, aren't there, Janet, where yes, folks recognize that loss can find healing.
Yeah. And you know, I could tell the story, excuse me, from Dr. Nay. And what it was is a mother, he's a child psychiatrist, so everyone knows, he's developed the Hope Alive program of abortion recovery. And he also was in regular practice, like Dr. Teresa Burke is. And a mother came with a six-year-old little girl. She was wetting the bed at night, having night terrors. And Dr. Nay was interviewing the mother, and the child was in a separate room with his assistant. And they asked the child, could you draw a picture of your family? Now, this little girl was an only child. She drew a picture of her mother and her father, herself, and an older sister. So Dr. Ney is talking to the mom, and he doesn't use the word abortion. He would use the word pregnancy loss. Mm-hmm. And he asked her, have you had any pregnancy loss in your history, your medical history? And she had her head down. She started tearing up, and she said, yes. And he said, well, tell me a little bit more about that. And she said, I had an abortion. So now Dr. Ney gets this picture from his assistant, from the little girl, and sees, oh my goodness, she drew the older sister that was aborted.
Wow.
In her picture. And of course, the windup of that story was he then had both of them in counseling together. They addressed the elephant in the room that was never spoken about. And within 6 months, this little girl stopped waking up at night, stopped wetting the bed, because the secret was opened up and dealt with and healed. So I want everyone who's listening to know that if there's this feelings you have that you think someone's missing, then reach out. Rachel's Vineyard will welcome you or other abortion recovery programs, because there might be a pregnancy loss in your family and you can find that healing, even if other family members aren't ready to face it, but you are, and you've got that gut feeling. Usually you're pretty correct, aren't they, Kevin?
Yes, and it brings to mind, Janet, on the Silent No More Awareness Campaign website, Teresa and I have an article that speaks directly to, you know, if you've been through a healing program, because that's the first step. If you were a parent with abortion loss and you're thinking whether you need to, talk to your kids, or maybe they might, one of your children might benefit from some healing in this area, counseling even. We have a nice article where you can kind of look through that, and it can give you some of the guidelines and things to think about, because all situations are different. Every family is different. Kids are different. And how you process it, it's going to be unique to your situation.
Right. And then, of course, there's another people group, is those who participated maybe in an abortion. So you're in college and your roommate is pregnant, and of course you encourage them to have the abortion. Maybe you give them some money to help them pay for it. Maybe you take them for the abortion. And then you find, after the fact, down the road, you start feeling upset about it, because now you were responsible for the death of the child, right? So let's speak to that. That's what I would call, you're an accomplice, right? Because you either said nothing, kept quiet, and let them go off and abort the child, or you helped them abort the child. So what can you say to that case?
This is obviously a very large group of people we never think about. And some of you listening, you're going to relate to this, I think. And again, we're speaking with love and with invitation to healing. Keep that in mind, not with judgment. But I'm thinking of a Rachel's Vineyard retreat where I was serving as counselor. And there was a counselor there who was coming to experience a retreat for training, because they're going to help out on another team. And she said, I said, you need to go through the process, just as if you were a participant. She said, I don't have an abortion in my past. I'm not sure what I would bring to it. So I advised her to think about, I gave her some ideas how she could go through the process. Well, lo and behold, she's going through the process, and she had completely blocked out the fact that in college, she had driven her roommate to get an abortion. Wow. And until she had sat and listened to the stories of women and men who experienced abortion loss and how that affected their lives, she never thought about her role in that. And boy, when she did, did that hit her intensely. Thank God she was on the retreat. She was able to grieve. And she was able to also, embrace that child with love, to ask the child's forgiveness, to entrust that child to the Lord, and to pray for the mother of the child, so that she would come to healing. So you could just see that, so many times people think they're being compassionate. They go to the money, the Mac machine, they pull out the money to help pay for the abortion. There's a case that I heard on a retreat where a woman was in her dorm room, and everybody in her dorm found out that she needed an abortion, and like 20 or 30 people contributed to her having that abortion. So they're all directly complicit in the death of that child. And when I say complicit, I'm saying that so that it awakens you to the fact that this has injured you. Your direct involvement, you may not realize it, you may be in denial about it, but when you go on a retreat and you begin to tell your story and God begins to open your heart, you realize that that hurts you and that you have guilt and shame, and you need to reconcile that loss with God, and the Lord will bless you for taking that step. So you are welcome on Rachel's Vineyard. Please know that.
Yeah. Well, of course, Kevin, this is the whole, what we've talked about today was the concept of shockwaves, which is part of the Silent No More Awareness campaign, that at the very epicenter is the death of the baby. It's like a pebble hit in the pond or an earthquake, so to speak, and the shock reverberates out. And that's what we spoke about. It's the death of the baby at the epicenter. Then it's the mother. Then it's the father. Then it's the grandparents. Then it's the future siblings. And then it's the friends. I mean, and all of society, really. We are impacted by that death of that baby. So we want everyone to know this is Abortion Recovery Awareness Month. There's healing available. They can go to abortionforgiveness.com, put in your zip code. You'll see where there's Rachel's Vineyard and other abortion recovery programs, because the healing's here, and that's what the awareness is about. So thank you for joining me, Kevin. I think we've impacted a lot of people that can be healed, and we hope they get to it. So thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome. Thank you, Janet.
Well, brothers and sisters, everyone's affected, and help and healing's available. Again, reminder, go to abortionforgiveness.com. And even if you don't think you have an abortion experience, I sure you know someone who has. I want you to be an ambassador of hope, healing, forgiveness. Get them to abortionforgiveness.com, put in your zip code, and find abortion recovery program near you. This is Janet Miranda, Executive Director of Priest for Life. Thank you. And God bless.
Each time a child is killed, many other people are wounded, and they may not even realize it. Mom and dad, grandparents, siblings, and friends all get hurt. Some of them grieve a life they helped to kill. Others grieve a life they tried to save but could not. Every abortion also hurts the abortionists themselves, who are dehumanized in the process. And abortion hurts the pro-life advocates who tried to stop it. They, too, must grieve the child who was killed. The wound of abortion is multifaceted, and therefore, so is the healing. The Silent No More Awareness campaign has launched a new project to raise awareness about the many dimensions of the damage abortion does. Called Healing the Shockwaves of Abortion, this effort focuses each month on a different group of people who are wounded and need healing. Let's all promote this great symphony of healing. Visit abortionshockwaves.com for more information.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.